Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God. Once again, this is KSK Radio Station. We're here to give the Word of God to those that believe. You know, tonight God has been so good to us. He has allowed us once again to be affirmed in His Word. And you know, it blesses me when I can introduce somebody who has the Word of God and tuned in them. So I'm going to give you a lady. I call her Tracy, but she's a woman of God. She has a lot to say to you. Amen. Hello, Tracy.
Hello. My name is Tracy Harding, and I'm a minister of the Word of God. And this evening, my studies this past week or so has been on the call of the minister. So tonight I'm going to share with you, some things that I have been digging out of the Word of God on the call of the minister, the preparation of the minister, the characteristics of the minister, which I find to be very, very interesting. You know, the Bible says that the gift and the callings of God are without repentance, and that is so true. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. But it's one thing to have a calling on your life. You want to also be chosen by God. It's one thing to have a calling, but there are certain qualifications or criteria that the minister must understand and meet before God can actually use him in the capacity in which he would like to use him. A minister, I looked that word up. The Greek word for minister is diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S, which basically it just means a servant. And in the Bible, the great men of God written in the Bible have referred to themselves as a servant, a bond servant. The New King James says a bond servant. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter says that in his greeting, he says that I am a bond servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans 1 calls himself a bond servant, and in Jude 1 it says Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. So these great men of God understood that the level of commitment that was necessary. In serving God, a bond servant is a person who serves in bondage, slave, a person bound to service without wages. So what that means to me is you must be totally devoted and dedicated to God and really in disregard to your own interests. It's a very high level of commitment, dedication, that these men understood as they were serving God. And you really can't really serve God the way Peter served him and the way Paul served him and unless you have that level of commitment, that this life is not my own. I'm giving you, Lord, my life as Romans 12:1 says, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. I'm just walking away from this world, my interest and my desire, and I'm giving my all to you. I am and that is what a bond servant or a slave is. They're not there for their own service. They are totally at the will of the master. And so a minister or a man or a woman of God that is called into the ministry has to come to that in their minds and in their hearts, that level of commitment that I'm going to give it all to Christ. A servant is called to serve God and to serve his people. Well, how do I know that? Well, the Bible says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you would say, well, Tracy, you're saying serve me, but you're referring to love. But I have discovered in my studies that serving and Jesus refers to serving, that he correlates serving and loving. When he was talking to Peter, when he was reinstating Peter into office and giving him instructions after Jesus was resurrected and before his ascension, that was a very interesting dialogue that went on between Peter and the Lord Jesus, and found in John 21:15, where Peter, when the Lord asked Jesus, the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter replies, you know, yes, Lord, I love you. And Peter said, and the Lord says, well, if you love me, you know, feed my sheep. Well, the King James Version really doesn't do this dialogue justice. You have to really dig a little deeper. The Amplified Version really gets to the meat of it. But the Lord is asking Peter, he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And the actual Greek word is agapeo, which means it means with reasoning, and do you love me with intentional spiritual devotion as one loves the Father? Are you willing to give it all? Peter responds, well yes, love, I phileo, phileo. See, Jesus asks him for a strong, devoted, that self-sacrificing commitment, and Peter responds, well, I love you like a friend. Jesus asks him a second time, Peter, do you agapeo me? Peter responds, well, Jesus, I phileo you. I love you as one would love a friend. I have affection for you as one with a close friend. And then the Bible says that Jesus asked Peter a third time, well, Peter, now that is a twist on words. He says, well, Peter, do you even phileo me? Do you even love me like a friend? And then the Bible says Peter was grieved, and he says, you know, Lord, you know. And the Lord says, well, then feed my sheep. The Lord, so in instructing Peter, he was trying to get Peter to understand, if you love me, even if you love me as a friend, you would serve me by serving my people, my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, and that would be the word of God. Break the word of God and give them the word of God. Give them the word of God and study and help them to understand and navigate them through the word of God so that they can understand my word and my principles and my doctrine and tend to them as an overseer. Watch over them. Care for them. Love on them. Encourage them. Exhort them. So when I give you the example of love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus is letting us know when you love God and when you love your neighbor, you will serve them. You will serve them. So, Peter, I just thought that was very interesting how the Lord correlated love and service. And as ministers of God, those that are called into the ministry, we must be open to whatever God would have us to do. It's whatsoever he has. Okay, you may be called as a prophet or a teacher or a pastor, but the bottom line is this. It's whatsoever thou will. Today you may not be, you may not give a prophetic word. God may have you helping, serving in the children's ministry. You know, so that's just to give you an example that it's, when you are a bond servant, it's not your will. It's whatever God. It's whatever God wills. So the Bible tells us that serving God will cost us everything. Serving God will cost us everything, and it may cost you your friendship with people. It may cost you relationships with family. Not that God wants to tear up relationships, because God is a God of love, but it is just that when God calls you to that and you make that level of commitment, everyone is not going to go with you. And so that will cause a divide because two can't walk together except they be agreed. And so that will cause the divide because you have taken that level of commitment. You have decided to go on the straight and narrow path as opposed to the wide and heavily trodden path. And so therefore, when you decide as a man or woman of God that you're going all the way with him, then you have to realize, count the cost, that it may cost you a relationship. It may cost you your relationship with your mother. I mean, I'm called to speak the truth, and the naked fact is this. It may cost you a relationship with your family. It may cost you a relationship your husband or your wife. Again, not that that is what the Lord wants, but that, like I said, everyone may not be willing to go along with you. As example, Matthew 10:37, it says that he that loveth their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, that is some very strong words. Not that God wants to tear up a family. I want to make that inexplicably clear. He is not, the author of confusion. He's not trying to tear up a family. But when you make that decision for the Lord to go all the way, you must realize that when God says it costs your life, it could cost you your life, and it could be a very long road. So you have to realize as a man or woman of God, it may damage or some relationship that you may have. So the next question is, how does a minister serve God? How does a minister serve God? Acts 20:28 says that we are to keep watch over the flock as overseers. We are to tend and to feed and to guide the church of the Lord God. So we're overseers. We're to watch. It is our responsibility to watch over the flock, to tend to them, to care for them. Our responsibility as a minister is for the perfecting of the saints. You can find that in Ephesians 4:12. It is for the perfecting of the saints. It is for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body. Our responsibility as called into the ministry, and you know if you're called. You know if you're called. You don't know, no one else knows. But you know if you're called into the ministry, and our responsibility as servants and overseers and stewards of the Most High God is for the perfecting of the saints. Our cause is for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, to encourage the flock and one another, to exhort and to edify. To edify is to build up. To exhort is to, you know, to cheer on, to encourage, you know, to give them hope and that you can do it. You can keep going. And we are to do this, of course, in love. Also, unfortunately, as a man or woman of God, you know, God, when God tells you to do something, sometimes what he tells you to do or say is not always what they may want to hear. Ezekiel 3, the third chapter, verse 17 through 21 says, warn them. You know, it tells you to warn them. Whether they respond to your warning or not, that is not the purpose of this particular passage, but God says, if you don't warn them and they die in their sins, your blood will I require at your hands. But if you warn them and they turn from their sins, if you warn them, obey me and warn them, whether they turn or not, the Bible says that, but you have delivered your own soul. That is some very powerful words right there. Because God has linked what you say or refuse to say to a man of God, whether they like it or not, to your soul. And so he says, but you have delivered your own soul. So it is a very, very grave responsibility. We have a very, very grave responsibility as a man or woman of God to open up our mouths. Now, in love, of course, we do everything in love. The Bible says to speak the truth in love, but to speak the truth nevertheless. Isaiah 58:1 says to cry aloud and spare not. Jeremiah 1:8 says, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God is saying, now, of course, you know, we get to encourage, edify, exhort, but there are times, you know, when correction is necessary and you have to do it. That is a part of your commitment to open up your mouth and to lovingly, the Bible says, lovingly speak the truth in love and in humility, lest you fall into the same condemnation, which means we're human just like they are, just like the flock are. We're human. We're all in the same boat. And when you are speaking to a fellow brother or sister in the Lord, always keep in the forefront of your mind that I could fall in the same situation. And sometimes the situation will be, I have come out of this situation. So when we're speaking to those that have strayed or that are straying or whatever the problem is, and God has, make sure God has told you, has led you to that, do it in humility, with compassion, and with love. And I'm going to tell you something. When they see that you genuinely care, you know, I'm just giving you a word and you walk off. But, well, you know, human nature, they don't care about your word. You know, they want to know, do you really care about them? And they really want to know, do you really love them? And when they see, and people know when you love and you genuinely love and care about them, and when they see that, they're more open to receiving what you have to say. And therefore, that witness to them, you know, makes it more effective. Love makes your ministry more effective. You know, so God wants us to understand that when we have to correct the body, not if, but when we have to correct, always do it in love. It's more effective. You do it with an I don't care attitude, you can do much more damage, really, than good. So another example of that I'd like to give is found in 1 Timothy 5:6. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. So Paul is trying to get us to understand, okay, you know, talk to this older woman like you would talk to your mother, or like you would want someone to talk to your mother. Talk to this older man like you would your father. Talk to this young woman like she's your sister. You know, put your heart into it. And so speak the truth in love. Another responsibility of the minister is we are, Isaiah 35:3 says, to strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. Everybody in the body is not strong. You have some people that walk into the church that you don't know what kind of frame of mind that they're in. You have some people that have been through hell and back. You have some people that have contemplated before they came to church, or may have attempted to have taken their lives, their own life. So these are the feeble and those that are just weak. The world has beat them down, and, you know, they just need you to come alongside of them and hold them up. And so in Romans 15:1, it says, we who are strong are to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So, again, you know, God comes back again and says, we're to uphold each other, and that's love. You see your brother failing, falling, or, you know, they may express to you that they just want to quit. Well, God says, hold them up with a word of encouragement, just being there for them. Call and check on them. Just call and see how you're doing. Pray for them. If they need something and you have it, you know, give it to them. That's unselfishness. That's love. That's true love, you know. And so we are also our responsibility as ministers, as we're, of course, ministers of the gospel. You know, Jesus was born of a virgin. He was crucified for our sins. He was 3 days in the grave. He rose again, and if you believe and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. You know, we are ministers of the gospel, and that is to not change. Jesus is fully God and He is fully man. He died for our sins. He's God in flesh. He is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. And anyone that says anything else, the Bible calls him the Antichrist. Okay, so we are ministers and stewards of the gospel. The gospel is not to change. You are to watch over that as a minister and protect that. There are many religions, forms of religion out there that try to minimize who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God in flesh. And we are to defend that. We are to proclaim that, and everything else is a lie. And so, as our responsibility is to make sure that that is defended and that is upheld. Another thing that I found very interesting in my studies as our responsibilities as a minister, as ministers of the gospel. And when I say minister of the gospel, like I said, anyone called prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, you know, pastor, healing and miracles, signs and wonders, help. When I say that, I just want you to understand that's what I mean. But 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So, now listen. Now, I found this very interesting. I looked at the word reconcile. It's to cause a person to accept or be resigned to something not desired, and to bring into agreement or harmony, to win over to friendliness, which means when you listen to it, that means you have someone hostile and a hostile party wanting to be brought together in harmony with another person or being. In this case, the being would be God. So we have the responsibility, not that we can do it of ourselves, but God in us is drawing men to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It is not us that we cooperate with God, and the Spirit of the Lord inside of us will draw men and reconcile the hostile, angry, bitter man to a loving God. Okay, now, I only have a few more minutes, but I want to go to the preparation of the minister. The preparation of ministry is we are to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the Word of God. And you can find that in Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The Word and the Spirit, the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, prayer, the power of God, you're praying in the presence of God, that relationship with God, and the word of God. The minister of God must constantly be in the word and in the presence of God through prayer. And if you are not doing that, then you have fallen short of your calling, because that is where your power is. That is where your power is, in the presence of God and in the word of God. The Spirit of God uses the word of God, and that's the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is what draws men and what is what does the work in you. The characteristics of a minister is I found this very interesting. At 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul says that God enabled me, but he says he enabled me, he equipped me, he endowed me with my gift, but he said because I was faithful. I made up my mind that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate me from the love of God. I made up my mind that I was going to go all the way. I was going to finish the course. I'm going to do whatever is necessary, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm totally committed to you, Lord God. And when God saw that I was faithful, he said in the latter part of that verse, 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, he puts me in the ministry. So not only did he call me, but when he saw my determination and my dedication and my commitment, he chose me. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says that it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That word faithful again. Faithful.
Amen. And I know tonight we take notice that our God has brought this lady by the name of Tracy to KESK Radio. The woman has a word. She's a strong teacher. She teaches from the Old Testament, the New Testament. She talks about the things that we of the fivefold need to sharpen up on. So I'm going to open the lines up. If anybody got something to encourage her, I'll give her words of kindness and encourage her. But I want you to take time, and let's do it, and open the lines up, okay? I love you, and hold on. The lines are open. Somebody got a question they want to ask you.
Okay.
Go ahead, 8640. Hello? Well, let's go to 641.
I'm on the radio.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, you talking to me, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh, now see. I came in on the tail end of the discussion because I couldn't hear, and I just wanted to hear a little bit more so that I can elaborate on some things, because I don't want to elaborate on nothing that I don't know nothing about, you know. So
all
I
right,
wanted to listen a little bit more.
All right, well, you just come on. I'm gonna put you back on hold, and we'll let some other people come back in. Okay.
Okay then. Yeah.
I opened it. 832-13-8640. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Are you doing the same now again?
Huh?
This is Dr. Hunter speaking.
Oh, yeah, this is me speaking. Yes, but I don't know what subject I was speaking on. You know, so I can't speak on the subject that I don't know what I'm speaking on.
Call of the minister.
Excuse me, ma'am?
The discussion was, the teaching was on the calling of the minister, his responsibility, the criteria of the minister, the equipping of the minister, the responsibility of the minister.
Okay. First of all, what is the definition of being a minister?
Well, I covered that in the beginning of the... Are you asking or are you...
Yes,
ma'am.
I'm just asking because I wasn't...
Really?
Okay. Yes, I couldn't pay attention in the beginning because I couldn't hear.
And that was the very first thing. The minister, the Greek word for minister is diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S, which means a servant.
A servant, exactly. Right.
Yes,
okay.
The King James Version says servant, but I tend to like the New King James, which says a bond servant. Someone as a slave, you know, you've submitted your will to the will of the master.
Yes. Okay, now I get what you're saying. Okay, so basically, all right, so now can I elaborate, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. See, I didn't understand. You know, sometimes you got to break things down to the simple people because they don't understand the intellectual things of Christ. You know, so that's why God call us babies in Christ because we still got to suck on the milk. And, you know, put it like that. You know, and I'm really sick and tired of people not telling the truth. You know, really breaking things down in the Word of God through experience. And I made a vow from now on from all the things that I've been through, and I'm tired of going through it because I'm tired of fighting with God. I'm either going to be obedient or I'm not. I'm not from the strap of offense.
That's
I know
right.
It's right.
Well, let me ask you this. The things that you're going through, what are you going through? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, no, I can't hear you.
The things that you're going through, what are you going through? What are you going through? Okay, he dropped. But that's all right. Go ahead on. Yeah, he dropped.
Okay.
We ain't yet. We still. So he jumped back on.
Okay.
No, he jumped back on. Let's see what's on his mind.
Okay. I like this.
Call it.
Go ahead. Okay, let's go to line 641. 641, are you there? Hello? You know us?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, I enjoyed that message, and I thank the sister for revealing that because a lot of people know that they will be held accountable because being a minister, even in the fivefold ministry, you are held accountable. I am glad that she clarified some things to the listeners because we need to know that we're going to be held accountable because that's a high calling. And I'm glad that she spoke on that tonight. That's very important because a lot of people don't And so it was just enlightening for her to come on and give us that message. And so I just really appreciate her coming out and speaking to us, letting us know, because a lot of people want to be ministers and they want to come in the fivefold ministry, but they don't know the importance of that. They don't know the importance. They don't know how high of a calling this is, and to tell the people the truth. And so people need to know, so you won't mislead anyone in this calling.
That's right. It's very serious.
Yes. Yes, it's very serious.
Serious ministry. Or we just take it and play with it.
Yes. Because we're dealing with people's lives. This is, the ministry is, what you do or don't do can determine if a person spends eternity in heaven or eternity in hell.
Amen.
It's very serious. You're playing, you know, what's a joke is this life, okay? But eternity, where we're going to spend the rest of our lives, is determined here. That's the most important thing. So our work, I really see the work of the minister as the highest calling possible here on earth. And,
amen.
You know, because you're dealing with a person's life, literally, where they're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
You have you are cooperating with God in winning souls and determining where a person is going to go. That's the highest calling that on planet Earth. In my opinion.
Amen. Working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think that people need to know their calling, first of all. They need to know their calling. They need to know that the Lord has called them for that particular ministry. And so that way they won't mislead anyone. Because like you said, this is a high calling, and it's people's souls at stake. And so we don't want to mislead anyone, saying anything to them and damaging their souls as well as our own.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I go. Amen, sister.
Yes.
Well, let me see here. One thing I want to ask. Now, I noticed you talked about, Sister Tracy, about the healing. The healing. What's so important about the healing?
Oh, well, you know, healing is a part of the ministry. When Jesus came, he came with the word, and he came with healing. And he healed, and he taught, and he taught, and he healed. You know, and so you know, Jesus speaks about healing. Believers shall, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said that when you go out, you're going to heal the sick, you know. When you look in the book of Acts, you know, Paul raised the dead. People were raised from the dead. People will heal. Peter, you know, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. Healing, you know, healing is a indication of the power of God. It's a verification or validation that God is with you. And God is in you. God is with you. And God is a God of healing. If you're truly flowing in the Holy Spirit, if God is in you, you should be able to lay your hands on the sick and heal the sick. So,
well, this guy wants to come back and ask some questions. So hold on. Let's see what's on the
line.
Okay. Okay,
oh, yes, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Somehow the phone had dropped call. You know, just so amazing, you know, just so amazing to when I hear, you know, like women of God just speaking from his spirit, you know, because they know who they are, you know, and you know, and in these last days, you know, God said he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It don't matter who it is. It can be a child. You can learn something from a baby, you know. His spirit is in all of us. You know, okay. And when she said something that's so important to me, servant, serving. And I've been in this wheelchair 16 years. 16 years. And I know the ones that have really, truly, truly in their heart served me without any bitterness in their heart. Trust, I promise you that.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments.
That's right. That's right.
See, if you love
me. A minister is a servant. We're called to serve.
Yes, we're called to serve people and deny ourselves for others.
That's right. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 20:26, it says, he who desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And if you you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you serve. And Christ said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus was our example. He served.
Yes, but I don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't mean to cut you off. I have to say that I don't understand, you know, because I won't, you know, I won't let y'all know this as a man, you know, from a man that's in a wheelchair, from seeing his perspective of being through so much of trials and, you know, and tribulations that James and Paul and say we're going to go through, period, and encountered all joy. And all those days haven't been joyous days, you know? They just haven't. In
you're saying all of your are you saying that in your walk with the Lord they haven't been all joyous days? Is that what you're saying?
No, all of my joys, you know, all right. What I'm trying to say, what more can the devil do to me? What more? Me being in this wheelchair 16 years laying flat on my back, how more can he beat me in the ground? How more can he beat me in the ground? How more? Because everything that's happened to me, everything that's happened in my life, my wheelchair, and this is the ultimate one that got me, God had to ask him to do this to me. And I got that from Job. I really realized he had to ask him to do that. I mean, the testimony of Job is similar to the testimony of mine. I walked upright. I was shunned. I loved God. I really did. I was a happy man. You know, but bad things do happen to good people. You know, and that's okay. But it's for, you know, I say to myself that I'm not in this wheelchair by choice. I'm in this wheelchair by reasoning.
Okay.
You know, it's the reason why I'm in this chair.
And what is
because,
that reason?
Because I have humbled myself before the Lord. I fear the Lord. I know what he's capable of doing. He can heal me or he don't have to. He don't have to heal me. I mean, he don't have to allow me to be healed. But he loves me enough in his mercy and his grace because he do. You know, and there's a lot of people out here in this world that's hurting and going through things and, you know, having a whole lot of habitual, you know, problems. And, you know, I don't call them addictions. You know, I learned that today. They're only habitual habits, and everybody have one, period.
Everyone has a habit.
Everyone has one.
What do you mean by
everyone?
Habit? What do you mean by habitual habit? What do you mean by that?
All right. Let's say some people can have a habit with gluttony.
Okay.
You know, some people can have a habit with pornography. Or some people can have problems with stealing. Or some people can have problems with popping pills. You know, it's a habit, you know, but the choices that we make, there's consequences behind them. I always remember that, and it's the truth.
Yes, that's the truth.
I mean, I don't have so many, but I'm not perfect. I'm in this wheelchair, and all I want to do, I'm not ashamed to tell anybody what I do. I'm not perfect. I'm confess your sins one to another and let you and you and you be faithful and just to forgive me. I'm not going to judge you. And, you know, so whatever anybody I'm going through who's listening out here, you know, this is real talk. This is, I mean, we saving people through what I'm going through in my life, and I know what Christ has done for me, and he's been there for me, and I know that for a fact. His perfect peace, when you get that, oh, my God, I've experienced that. I have it.
Yes, perfect peace. Peace in the middle of the storm.
I love people. God is love. I love people. And whatever people do to me, I still love them, regardless.
Yes.
So love will change anything. Love will change. I mean, love will change what's going on in this world today. If more, you know, people will say that to their children and, you know, and the people and the this and that, you know what they can do? If you plant it long enough, it'll grow.
Yes, that's true.
Love will never be uncompromised. Love is what it is. Love is love.
Can I come back in and say something?
Yes, sir.
Okay. One of the things I would say, I would say from my standpoint, I have been down to the bottom of the pit. But I kept my faith on the word of God. Jesus said to the man, he said, as he was sitting by the pool, he said, would thou be made whole? See, it comes to a we have to know what God wants to do with us. When we ask what God says to us, God has a plan and a purpose. And everybody got to come under one roof. It's called redemption, confession, salvation. Jesus paid the entire price. So none of us, not even Willie Hunter, can go around and say this or that, because what God has done for one, he's done it for the next one. It is according to our faith. Faith moves God. Faith is spoken. God said, let there be light. That was faith. God is not physical. God is full of spirit. But Jesus came on the scene, which he promised us. He said it. And he wants us. The world we live in today is declaring that everything negative. Well, I don't need to listen. I can tell you, I've done some of this, some of that, tonight, but I don't do that no more. That's behind me. Because I'm looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus is keeping me. I keep my prayer on him. I study his word. I try to encourage people. And I try to tell everybody, sooner or later, you're going to have to pay. All of us are going to stand and pay. All of us are going to stand and pay. Because when we pay, because Jesus said, may I ask this question to everybody listening? Hello? I want to ask this question. Everybody is listening to us. From New York to California to Georgia to Texas, I want to ask this question. Do you know not that when Jesus Christ died for you, do you know we are not going to have to, we sin no more? Because the Bible says Jesus paid the ultimate price. And when we stand before God, the only question we're going to have to answer to God's Son is, what did you do when I was in your body when you accepted me? So when you accept Jesus Christ, The CNU News no longer exists now. And this is where we come in. We got somebody coming in from New Jersey. New Jersey, you have a word to say? Well, they hung up. But that's all right. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Hahn, it's Sister Monica Hanchett. And that sin that you're talking about is called a sin of the flesh. I was just speaking to someone about the preachers that are on television, how they fall, such as the man who had Jimmy Swagger and Eddie Long and everything. I said, that's their sin. We were born into sin. It's for us. Our heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why I said it should have been one of us that was on there that was put on stand. It's just that there comes a time when God says, okay, you're here at the peak, enough is enough. And so but that's the reason why we constantly have to be in our Bibles. We have to constantly replenish ourselves because, see, Lucifer knows the Bible also. And this is the reason why that, you know, he wants an intimacy with us. I talk to people, especially people in prison, about their prayer life. My prayers, you know, coming out there and praying with you, to Jesus, that's fine, that's beautiful. But he wants a one-on-one connection so he can drown that Pharaoh in your life, okay? It's like the people back in 2,000 years ago when I was working for Pharaoh, they wanted to go to church. Pharaoh says, I'm going to increase your work hours. So God has to intervene, just like he did with Hitler, because naturally, this human flesh is too strong for the human to consume his anger and his power. So God found him. So it can be overcome. When I say we will overcome someday, things will be revealed to you. The people will want to know why this or why that. It's all in all the answers to all your blueprints are in the Bible. And sometimes you do have to read that Bible 2-3 times to get a different understanding, a different revelation of it. But we all are born with sin. Some of us just don't have the sin. Some of us will never see the prison. Some of us will never see a divorce because that's not the sin that we're living with. And some of us, you know, our sin will just be blown away because we will get in it and we say, no, God, this is not right. Rescue me right now, right now. And we pray until snot is coming out of our nose because we want the salvation of Jesus Christ. We want it expeditiously. And so, therefore, God exposed people because he's like, "You are, everybody on this earth is all his children, but when you are saving souls and trying to put kingdoms and trying to put people into heaven, he can't have you, condemning people like that." And that's an abomination.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You are so right. I don't understand why come people, and I'm going to tell you the God on this truth. If I lie, I make a mistake. You know, if I have to tell I gotta be real with myself. I tell people, I'm not saying that, man, come on. You gotta be real. I mean, that's why the Eddie Longs have failed, because they can't be real with themselves. So I'm talking about, that's why I mean, it's just the truth. I don't really, you know, I'm not putting my mouth against them, you know, but that these people out here in the streets, some you can tell you really need it. Some people, you know, and some little, you know, lady that you have about 3-4 babies, you know, holding on his shoulders and it's hot out here. You know, all people got to do is change their mindset. Help change a person's mindset and the environment. I mean, you just keep on teaching them something, you know, and testifying to them and find love from them. I mean, keep loving them and then their mindsets will change so quick because that's how God, God say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and thoughts of good and not of evil. You know, somebody, we need people in our lives that are going to speak good, positive things to people and still encourage them and keep them going. I mean, relationships and marriages, I'm so tired of seeing that. Breakups and marriages, people been together 25 years and wasting their time and, you know what I'm talking about? It's crazy.
Well, let me tell you, Tita, the reason why men, will not stand for what is because they themselves will not stand to the truth, the truth is the living word of God. I say this all the time. Because I know more people I know who really love the Lord, but when I was out there doing my drugs with them, I left them out there because I got salaries. But they still want to do their drugs. They still want to go chase they this and that. They want to go shoot and cuss. My lifestyle is not that anymore. My life is serving the most God of all. And the more I love God, the more I want to serve God, the more I can. Some people go, oh, see, the enemy as a plot. All the men, he said in the book of Job, when God said to him, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He said, "Yes, I've considered him, but I can't get to him because you got your royal arm around him." God said, "Well, you can do anything you want to him,
but you can't do it for his soul.
See, when a man gives his soul to God, he sells out to God. And I would say this to any man: he could be the president, he could be the governor, the mayor, or policeman. Because I will say this to this generation we live in. There are a lot of people know that they're on their way to hell, and they don't want nobody to help them from hell. Because they always got to put that word in. Listen up. See all the noise in the background? See all that noise?
Yes.
Yeah. See, but God, let me tell you something, though. I want to tell you with love. God loves you, man. God wants you. But you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to give up. Because I've been there. I was out there pushing. I was out there packing. You name it, I've done it. But do I do that anymore? No, because that man does not live anymore. Paul said, I once knew a man, but he don't live no more. Because I have God consciousness in me.
Man, Romans.
The reason why men have what they have, and I see men every day in the wheelchair. You want to get up? No, man, I'm all right where I am. Can I pray for you? No, man, I'm all right. Well, how can you help somebody that don't want to be helped? How can you help somebody be helped?
Hey, Dr. Hunter, you know what I want to do? I want to come.
Yes,
whoever listened to me, I don't care. I'm just, you have not because you ask not. I'm, you know, you should know a man by his fruit. I'm not playing with this, period. You know, I die and go to my grave if I don't ever get up and walk. But I know what I got to do, and I got to tell my testimony to people. And whoever out there listening to me who wants me to come, I'll come.
Well, you know what?
If it's in the Houston area. For real. Because I really don't want to tell my testimony. I'm tired. I want to see people free in their spirit. And then everything else will line up. Trust me. I'm not even worried about this wheelchair no more.
Deton, can I say this to you?
Yes, sir.
Can I say this to you, my brother?
Yes, sir.
You have a listening audience that goes around the world. We go around the world. You got a testimony.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, because this is not in Houston, it's going around the world. But let me tell you something.
But it's in the church, though,
what
too.
Let me
see. You know, there are people in the church hurting.
Do you know what the Holy Spirit is?
Oh, yes, the
Holy
Ghost, too.
It's the convicted. The Holy Spirit was with. He was sent to lead us and guide us in the truth. And in righteousness. And the reason why most men, a certain percent of men, don't want to give in to the Holy Spirit because they don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And when a man, you know, when a man's still drinking whiskey, drinking beer, he ain't with God, he's still lying, he's still cheating, he's still gambling, No, but we're trying to get him out of dogma. We're trying to get him out of the hole. And see, I'm here to tell you what I know what God has done. When I had my stroke, confusion of the body, 3.5 years ago, I didn't know if I was going to live or die, but God kept his hand on me. I'm here to help people to get up and understand God can do anything but lie. And when I prayed in the hospital, when I was there in the hospital for 90 days, the first week after I'm there, I prayed for the people. I didn't know what I was doing, but they had cancer. They had their legs all messed up. But God said to me, I'm still with you. You still have the anointing. Press your way in. See, because it looks like you're not going to make it, you can make it, but you got to give up something. It's like, do you wear the same clothes every day? No, you got to change every day. You have to pray every day, every hour, stay before God, because God is watching. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else got to say? Tracy?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Go ahead. You take for Tracy. What's your risk?
I'm sorry.
I said, go ahead and you take over.
Okay, well, it's, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with you. You know, God is able. You know, he's able to pull you out of whatever you're in. You know, it's Christ in you. It's not us. It's not by our might or by our power, but by my spirit. And daily I remind myself of that when God, you know, gives us assignments or wants us to do even simple things. The Bible says that without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. With me, you can do all things. With me, you can do all things. Overcome crack addiction. With me, through me, by me, you can overcome prostitution. By me, you can lose 100 pounds. With me, you can do all things. You can come out of bondage. You can come out of poverty. I can bring you out of depression by my spirit. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. It is by the spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of you. And when you're having challenges and when you're having problems, when you're having unbearable circumstances that's closing in on you and you don't know which way is up, you don't know what to do, you're frustrated, busted, broke, disgusted, you turn to Christ and you cry out to him, Lord, help me, and believe in your heart. I think a lot of times we don't get what we need because, you know, one of the key things is believing. You have to have faith. It is faith that calls. It is the faith, and that word faith means you just simply believe God without doubting, because doubt kills your faith. It kills the faith or the presence, the promise of your to come to pass. It kills it. So you cry unto God, God, help me. I need help with X, Y, Z. I need help getting up every morning and studying my Bible for an hour. I need help with staying motivated 3 times a week to work out for 30 minutes a day. Whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, I need a new job. I want to go back to school. I want to stop drinking, you know. You turn to the living God and you ask him for help, and it is Christ in you that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not your strength. He's working in you to accomplish his good and perfect and acceptable will inside of you. It's Christ in you. People, they try, but God constantly reminds us through the scripture. I can't tell you how many times just in the New Testament that the Bible says over and over again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. It's Christ in you. Turn to God. The power is on you. When you receive Christ into your life and you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, the power to overcome, the power to a victorious life is inside of you. You just have to learn how to tap into that power and release that power and have that power working in your life. And that is believing in God, reading your word, getting in close relationship with God, just as the sister said earlier, abiding in Christ, which is a very powerful subject, and I'll be teaching on that in the future. Abiding in Christ is so powerful, which basically means just staying there, staying in the presence of God, and watch God turn your life around. You say, well, the young man made the statement that everyone he uses, where everyone has a habit. Well, and I understood him to mean that everyone had is something going on, some type of sin, some type of pet something going on in my life that I just can't kick it. Well, that therein lies the problem. You can't do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, the word of God says, can a leopard change his spots? Well, the answer is no. A leopard can't change his spots, so neither can you change anything about you. You can click your heels and wish, three Hail Marys and wish, but there's nothing you can do. Again, it's Christ in you that will cause the change to, sometimes it's quickly, sometimes it's a quick change, but then many times it's a gradual change. My experience is I fall, I get back up. And then the next time I fall, sometimes I fall real quickly, a couple of times I get back up. And then I notice I fall, and then it may be a few weeks. Then it'll turn into a few months, and I haven't made that same sin or error or problem again. And then I fall, and I notice that the distance of time between my last fall and the current fall is a year. And over time, you just get the victory. We get the victory is gradual, and it is in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It's a gradual process. The Bible says that the light of the righteous shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It's progressive, meaning you're constantly changing. You're constantly being changed into his image and likeness. But, the thing is, we have to realize that it is a process, that you're going to fall, you're going to make mistakes. But let me tell you something. There is hope. Even for that pet sin, God can work that out of you. God can change your life around. And you look back, if you just do what the word tells you to do and be obedient to Christ and the word that the Holy Spirit is giving you, you will look back and find that over time, that even that pet sin, that thing that you didn't want to let go of, that now you've got the victory over. Some things, when you come into the body of Christ, you immediately falls off. But some things is a process, So that's what I wanted to share with the brother that was speaking a little earlier.
Amen. Here's what I want to do. I want the people to come to the understanding, because what God is doing through you and through all of us, we all are part of the fivefold ministry. We're either an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, or evangelist. Our job is to edify the body of Christ and to bring the body of Christ back into reality. We who are alive and live must tell the truth. No matter how hard people don't want to hear the truth, as you were saying in the earlier, God's going to hold it to our account. If a man is sinning, I don't tell anybody his sin, he's going to hell, it's going to be on my shoulder. I'm not having the sins on my shoulder. I'm going to tell it. I tell my wife, my brother, my auntie, my uncle, sin is sin. But when we come and say, Lord, I know I used to keep my secret to everywhere I went. Just keep my straight razor. I said, Lord, give me better weapons of this. until I learned the weapons of my warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Lord for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. When the devil has a stronghold, God invigorates him with the fullness of the Holy Spirit to do his will. I'm not afraid. We're right here in America right now. I'm going to bring it home. Right in America, right there in Colorado. They have said that it's a pop state of the United States of America. Everybody's going there now to get pot. Everybody wants to get some dope. Everybody wants to smoke. But let me tell you something. The Bible speaks against all of that. It calls it a strange weed. People up there, see, we got a woman up there in Tennessee who had a son. The medical doctor went in there, didn't know how to do a circumcision, and removed all of his parts, his penis, his testicles, and everything. And so now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. See, because we are here as sons of God, that includes women, as sons of God, to stand firm in what he said. And the devil is going to, you think we got it tough now? You ain't seen nothing yet. If you ain't prayed, yeah, you better learn how to pray. If you ain't heard, you better learn how to hear. Because God says to us, he wants us to be the best. God doesn't have any coward.
Amen, brother. That's true.
And if you're a coward, don't follow me. Stay on the sideline. I always say, when I run the football, I tell a guy, when I was a young man, I said, look, all I want you to do is open the line up for me. If you open the line up, I'll get through the line. I'll score. We got to get there. We got a press or another one get ahead. I'm not, if this sister can get to the highest point, hallelujah, she went up higher. If it was God, won't do it. And that's what it's all about. This radio station is not about me. It's about me reaching the unreached and telling the untold. And, you know, I want to get a lot of men and women on the radio one day. And I want them to make it, they call Skype, where you talk to each other around the world so people can see the condition you're in. I know it is in a bad condition right now. But you know what it says? I'm still trusting God. How long do you have to trust God? Until God says done.
Yeah.
Jesus said, they asked Jesus, said, wait a minute. And they said, Master said, who sinned? Did that child sin or the mother sin? Jesus said, neither. Listen at this, neither. It was done so that the glory of God can be manifested. And that's what God wants. God wants to use all of us. The condition I'm in, folks, say, one of you ought to get up and walk, I'm walking. You ought to talk, I'm talking. What you want to do? Do the best. I'm doing the best. What else you want? See, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. See, I have had guns in my head right there in Third Ward, Texas. Right here in Houston. They had a 22, a sawed-off shotgun, because I was stopping them. My sister was a prostitute from doing what she was doing. They said, we're going to kill him. That's when the Holy Ghost spewed out of me. And one of them is, I got proof, it was on the record. They said, leave that man alone. Something wrong with him. Because the fire of God was leaving me. Because when you trust God, God will use you. God will use you. You in the wheelchair. You on the bed of sickness. I believe what the Bible says. These signs shall follow them that believe. We are believers.
Yes.
We are believers. Yes. We are believers. We shall cast out demons.
Yes.
We shall lay hands on sick and they shall recover.
And
we
they
shall.
Recover.
And they shall. That's what the Bible says to us. So I'm not selling myself over to somebody else. See, when I was selling cocaine, when I was selling hashish, when I was selling this and selling that, can't ask you no more to get on that side of the river. I can't, I won't cross over. I won't look back. They said, can't you look low? Because I've been there. All I see, all I know behind me is the worst part. And that's what Willie Hunter was. He was a bad man. But now he's a man so humble. He is so humble. He loves God. He loves God. Why does he love God? Because he wants God to reach out and touch somebody. See, you got more young people now, more than, well, young people, you know, so I just want to be a lesbian. Your body wasn't made to be a lesbone, and your body wasn't made to be a whole. Man and woman. God so joined a man and a woman. And you know what?
That's right.
Now, I'm going to give it in there. Dutton says this, and he's right. A lot of these preachers, they know, they're not doing it. But I want to be the preacher to tell everybody, look, you ain't got to sin because somebody's a sinner. You ain't got to lie because somebody's a liar. Why on a clean garment? It's called a Holy Ghost. Put that garment on every day. And trust God and watch God. And God wants to use you. God, see, I'm here to tell you, when I was over there in Germany, when I had over $1 million worth of cocaine with me, my mother prayed for me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Father. Understand.
Amen.
Help me,
Father.
Amen. My mother Amen. Prayed for me. And I didn't know that God had a praying for me. Because I spent $50,000 in German money and French money to keep me from going out. I got across one line from Frankfurt to Germany, and every penny I had, they wanted it all. See, the devil wants it all. Satan wants
yes.
it all. He,
yeah.
See, he don't leave with nothing. And I said, Lord, I thank you. And that's when my life changed as a young man. And I'm here to tell somebody I love you. We're still on the line. Somebody got a word to say because God used traces and had to bring it up. What does a man qualify? We have time to get it right. In America, they're going crazy. In America,
yes.
You got the senators. You got the mayor in Houston. You got a lady who said that she got married to a woman. How in the world are you
yes.
going to marry a woman that can bring a baby? Can't bring no baby out of that womb. Sperm be sperm. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. That's not
yes.
God. That's
that
dumb,
is not
dumb.
God.
That ain't going to happen.
That is not God. That is not God.
And so you, well, God's going to make it happen. No, God ain't. No, no, no. Keep talking, talk on, Tracy.
Well, I would also like to say that, that brings me to another point of the minister, and that is the qualification. And you can read on that in 1 Timothy 3:1-6. It's okay to be committed, and you're ready, you're gung-ho, God, I'll go across the world for you, but before God can actually use you to the capacity that he wants to use you, you have to be, the minister, the man or woman of God must be committed to sanctification, holiness, purity. He says, let the bishop or the overseer be first blameless. Only have one wife, temperate, which means self-restrained and not excessive, of a sober mind and self-controlled, capable, not given to wine, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, gentle. He rules his own household well. He must not be a new convert, and he has a good reputation. Now, what I'm saying is this. You can be called, you can have a made-up mind, but then the Holy Spirit must purify you. As a minister, you should be an example, a shining example, and without blemish. And the only way that is going to happen is the man or woman of God has to stay close. They have to stay close to the Lord Jesus. and allow the presence of God to burn out all of the dross and so that we can be a vessel of honor before the Lord. So you can have a made up mind, and I have experienced that you can have a made up mind. You can want to be used by Christ. You can have all that, but if you have glaring sin in your life, you're in adulterous relationship, or you're selling dope, or you have a temper and you're cursing people out. These things have to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit, and the process is called sanctification.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The process is called sanctification, which means daily God is cleansing you. Daily God is changing you more and more into his image, so that because as a minister, you're looked at through a fine microscope. And that is the reason why Jesus said, first and foremost, in 1 Timothy, you have to be blameless. Well, of course you can't. That's impossible for us to do in our own strength. But which means to me, God is saying, okay, well, then you, above more than anyone else, you have to draw closer to me. It's possible for us to walk in this realm because Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as I am perfect. But that call requires you to abide in Christ. You stay in his presence. So in 2 Timothy 2:20, he says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Cleansing himself means sanctification, which is another word for being cleansed or purified, holy. So that is what I wanted to say to close it all up. You can have a made up mind. You can have the passion. You can have the desire. You can have the call. But you also, if you want to be useful for every good work to the master, you have to be sanctified and be holy, which in ourselves we cannot do, but through Christ we can do all things.
Now, I want you to hold on. I got another lady that came with me some time ago. God had me in prayer to give her a call, just talk to her, and she says, God wants me to do something. Are you there, sister? Hello, Dolores?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
When you and I met, who was on the phone, I was telling you what God wanted done. You said yes. And what has God been using you?
Yes. God has been using me. I tell you, you have to want this, though. God don't force himself on anyone. You have to want it, and you have to be praying for it. And God will use you. If he call you, he'll use you. I was praying, and when Dr. Hunter called me and asked me, I said yes. And when God began to, he said, well, do you have any people? I said, yes, I have some. And God began to direct me to them. I said, Lord, now, you know where these people are that serving you with their heart. Because God wants true believers. He wants people that are serving him with their heart. And so when God did that, he showed me the people that he wanted us to unite with. And so it's just been a blessing from there. God has been leading and guiding in this ministry. That's what he's been doing. But you have to want it. You have to want this. And a lot of people want the gifts of God, but they don't want him. And so, and it doesn't work that way. You know, you have to want the whole thing. You have to leave, like the sister said a few minutes ago, you have to leave mother, father, sister, brother, whomever to follow him. And God come to separate. He come to separate. Are you going to follow them or are you going to follow him? So God has united us and been doing a great work, and we stay in prayer constantly and daily. So it's His doing, and we thank God for that, for using us in the ministry.
Amen.
Depending what God has done is using you. We get ready to do that down in your hometown. Tell the world. Tell the world what God has done.
He's getting ready to do a great revival right here in the city. And we are excited about it because it's time. It's time because the people need a first word. People are perishing because they are not hearing the truth. And God says they have to hear the truth. They've been hearing this watered down stuff because people have been telling them what they want them to hear, and that's just to get money and to do the things that they're doing. But God says it's time for the truth to come forth. And those who have been searching for it, they will find it when it comes forth. So God is getting ready to do a great revival.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Hey, glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Praise
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Willie Hunter, yeah. This is not Willie Hunter. This is about God. God help me praying, and when I get somebody number, God to call them. I call God. Well, who am I? I'm just a servant of the Most High God.
Yeah.
I know I've been called to be a pastor. I know we call it being an apostle. I know they have the spirit of a strong evangelist because I want to see them saved.
Amen.
I want to see them saved.
Yeah, I'm going to close my side.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to see them saved.
Amen.
I want to see them out of the jails. I want to see them. Anybody got anything else they want to say while we're on the
line? Way back.
Yes, I would like to say something else. The world gets it, but we as the body of Christ need to get this, that united we stand. United we stand. And this ministry that the Lord has planted and given to Dr. Hunter, we uphold him like we're doing now. In prayer and support when he calls on us, and I'm gonna keep this ministry in my prayer. Then the prayer is this ministry goes to every nation and it'll hit television, radio waves, internet, together united in prayer. This ministry is going to grow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Did Todd? Whatever. I would like somebody to go to Isaiah. Go to Psalm 45, please. Go to Psalm 45. I want to show the world something. Go to Psalm 45. Faith and total on the whole thing.
My heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter in righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold for Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him, and the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever.
My God, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's awesome. You see what God is doing? He's putting us in the royal diadem, royal, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to close out with this. I would like for the lady from Hampshire to go to Luke chapter 22. Go to go to 28 and read on.
28, okay. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my father had appointed unto
you. Hold on. Wait a minute. Jesus said we have continued with him in his temptation. Now he's going to do what for us? He's going to appoint us what?
And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my father had appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Hallelujah. And sit on straw, judging the 12 tribes of the
world. Amen. That's what I want us to understand. What God has done for us, God has done it. Jesus said, he said, my Father don't say it, it just don't happen. Every
Amen.
Word that comes out of the mouth, it comes from God.
Amen.
So we get to God through Jesus Christ. That's how we get there.
That's how we get there.
Amen. 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 Well, Amen. Thank you for your text and prayer and Thanksgiving as we close out this night. I want to thank y'all. That's been a great night. Would you close
Amen.
Out text with a prayer?
Yes. We thank you, God, for this time of fellowship and around your word, opening up and breaking the bread of life. And I pray, Lord, that this word did not fall on deaf ears, but that it will take root in the hearts of the hearers, and it will produce fruit. It will bear fruit. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord. I pray that this ministry will continue to grow. It will grow, go around the world. That there will, I bind the attacks of the enemy, and I say, Most High God, we will be encouraged. We will not quit. We will not give up. We will fight the good fight of faith. I pray for favor for Dr. Hunter, Most High God, that you will continue to open doors in the media ministry, Most High God, and I pray that he will be faithful, Most High God, in the call that is about his life to spread the gospel around the world through media. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Most High God. What you have done in his life, what you are doing and what you are going to continue to do through the ministry, you be glorified, you be lifted up, to you be all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Oh, yeah.
My word.
Amen.
I love you, guys.
Next level.
I love you.
Wisdom.
Anybody got something to say? God bless you. I love you.
God bless you, too.
Amen.